Boeing's fix for the 787 is approved. Knives or no knives? That is the question. And Grasshopper is able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. This is Aero News for Wednesday, March 13, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has approved the Boeing Commercial Airplane Company's certification plan for the redesigned 787 battery system after thoroughly reviewing Boeing's proposed modifications and the company's plan to demonstrate that the system will meet FAA requirements. The certification plan is the first step in the process to evaluate the 787's return to flight and requires Boeing to conduct extensive testing and analysis to demonstrate compliance with the applicable safety regulations and special conditions. The battery system improvements include a redesign of the internal battery components to minimize initiation of a short circuit within the battery, better insulation of the cells, and the addition of a new containment and venting system. The certification plan requires a series of tests which must be passed before the 787 could return to service. FAA engineers will be present for the testing and will be closely involved in all aspects of the process. The FAA also has approved limited test flights for two aircraft. These aircraft will have the prototype versions of the new containment system installed. The FAA will approve the redesign only if the company successfully completes all required tests and analysis to demonstrate the new design complies with FAA requirements. The FAA's January 16th Airworthiness Directive, which required operators to temporarily cease 787 operations, is still in effect. Representative Ed Markey, a Democrat of Massachusetts, introduced bipartisan legislation Tuesday to reverse what he described as, quote, the wrong-headed policy change by the Transportation Security Administration that allows small knives onto planes, end quote. The No Knives Act would stop the new TSA rules from going into effect, freezing the permitted items list as it stands today. Representative Markey previously sent a letter to TSA asking them to reverse the policy, but the agency is currently holding firm on its plans to allow certain knives on planes starting on April 25th. In a news release, Representative Markey said, quote, if TSA doesn't reverse its policy to allow knives onto planes, then Congress will take action with this legislation. There is no reason for passengers to have a knife on a plane, and allowing knives on planes puts our flight attendants, pilots, and passengers at greater risk, end quote. Sarah Nelson, the International Vice President for the Association of Flight Attendants, joined Markey at a Tuesday news conference, saying, quote, as first responders and the last line of defense on the aircraft, flight attendants are charged with keeping the passengers safe. Does allowing knives on board make us safer? Absolutely not, end quote. The new TSA rules permit folding knives with blades shorter than 2.36 inches and narrower than 1/2 inch to be carried into aircraft cabins, the first time since 9/11 that knives would be able to be carried aboard airplanes by passengers. On Thursday, March 7th, SpaceX's Grasshopper doubled its highest leap to date to rise 24 stories, or 262.8 feet, hovering for approximately 34 seconds, and landing safely, using closed-loop thrust vector and throttle control. Grasshopper touched down with its most accurate precision thus far on the centermost part of the launch pad. The test was completed at SpaceX's rocket development facility in McGregor, Texas. Grasshopper's SpaceX vertical and takeoff and landing vehicle continues SpaceX's work toward one of its goals, developing fully and rapidly reusable rockets, a feat that will transform space exploration by radically reducing its cost. With Grasshopper, SpaceX engineers are testing the technology that would enable a launched rocket to land intact rather than burning up upon re-entry into the atmosphere. This was Grasshopper's fourth in a series of test flights, with each test demonstrating exponential increases in altitude. British Airways has begun selling tickets for flights on its first Airbus 380, which will fly the red carpet route to Los Angeles. The double-decker Super Jumbo is due to be delivered to British Airways in July. The second A380 route will be to Hong Kong, and customers can book flights now for travel from November the 15th. The A380 will be the largest aircraft in the British Airways fleet, accommodating 469 passengers across four cabins. The arrival of the A380 has entailed a major redevelopment of British Airways' Heathrow engineering base to support maintenance of the world's largest commercial aircraft type. It was impossible to miss Bell Helicopter last week in Las Vegas at Heli Expo 2013. Taking center stage as the show's largest exhibitor, Bell Helicopter greeted record crowds of almost 20,000 event attendees who filled the Bell Helicopter booth to speak with company representatives while examining and interacting with the four Bell helicopters on display, two Bell 429s, as well as the new Bell 412 EPI and the Bell 407 GT, both introduced during the show. According to John Garrison, president and CEO of Bell Helicopter, Heli Expo is always an important event for the company, but this year's show was particularly significant. Summing up their performance at the show, Garrison said, quote, "I think the best evidence of our success at the show is the arrangements we reached for the sales of 50 helicopters to current customers and first-time Bell Helicopter customers." When Aero News continues, Curiosity continues operating on the B-side. Will Fifi have a flying partner? And Delta's senior captain hangs it up.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, March 13th. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity continues to move forward with assessment and recovery from a memory glitch that affected the rover's A-side computer. Curiosity has two computers that are redundant of one another. The rover is currently operating using the B-side computer, which is operating as expected. Over the weekend, Curiosity's mission operators team continued testing and assessing the A-side computer's memory. Two software patches targeting onboard memory allocation and vehicle safing procedures are likely to be uplinked later this week. After the software patches are installed, the mission team will reassess when to resume full mission operations. The cause for the A-side's memory symptoms remains to be determined. A vintage B-29 has been given a new lease on life thanks to a group of Wichita, Kansas business leaders who are determined to see the airplane restored to flying condition. A new nonprofit group, Doc's Friends, has taken ownership of the airplane and will support the effort to refurbish the vintage aircraft. It is believed that Doc is the last known Boeing B-29 Superfortress that is restorable to flying condition. Doc was originally built in Boeing Wichita's Plant 2 facility in 1944. The plane was rescued from the California desert in 1998 and brought to Wichita in 2000 by aviation enthusiast Tommy Mazzolini and a host of dedicated volunteers. Mazzolini and the volunteers made great strides in restoring the aircraft before efforts stalled due to poor economic conditions and available hangar space. Doc's Friends, a group of Wichita aviation enthusiasts, was recently formed to help make Mazzolini's dream of a flying museum come true. During World War II, this airplane was one of a squadron of 8 planes named for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It was decommissioned in 1956 and spent 42 years in the desert before Mazzolini took on a personal mission to recover the airplane and then move it to Wichita for restoration. His flying career spanned 37 years, 12.5 million miles, 27,000 hours, and 95 different cities. And on Friday, Delta Captain Calvin Cal Flanagan hung up his captain's hat. Flanagan was Delta's most senior pilot. He began his career as a mechanic in 1968 and went on to earn his pilot certificate. He worked his way up to pilot in command of Delta's airliners. Fox News reports that Flanagan never missed a day of work during that entire career. While he'd had other opportunities to retire, Flanagan said that he wanted to fly until the very last day he was eligible. Delta's rules state that a pilot must retire at age 65, and Flanagan's 65th birthday was celebrated the day after his final flight. He was greeted on arrival at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport on a flight from Los Angeles with a water cannon salute as he taxied to the ramp. Flanagan said that he approached his retirement with mixed emotions, but that he recognized that it was time to, quote, pass the baton, end quote. Delta Airlines spokesman Steve Dixon said it was unlikely that his long tenure and attendance record would ever be replicated. Meanwhile, now that they can, Flanagan and his wife, wait for it now, plan to do more traveling, but this time together. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. And like Captain Flanagan and his wife, you're now cleared for departure.